open on Bedford Falls. Heavy snow blankets the picturesque American town as a slow procession of voices pray for George Bailey. It's Christmas Eve, and things aren't going great for George. 90 minutes of exposition later, he's about to end it all, but before he does, his guardian angel, Clarence, appears to try and change his mind by showing him what the world would be like if he never existed. Well, on this festive episode of the Oxford Sparks Big Questions podcast, we are taking a page from Hollywood director Frank Capra. But for our scientific and copyright-friendly purposes, the role of George Bailey will be played by the parasitoid wasp. And we're asking, what would the world be like if these insects never existed? Hello, I'm Emily Elias, and for this take on It's a Wonderful Life, I headed over to the Natural History Museum in London. Playing the role of Clarence the Angel for this podcast is Chris Jeffs, a postdoctoral researcher in zoology at the University of Oxford, a man who thinks the parasitoid wasp is the best bug around.
Beetles, big, bumbly, friendly, quite a lot of them. People always see them as the good guys. You know, dung beetles are great because they bury all of the dung. If it wasn't for them, you know, in a year we'd be up to our knees in cow dung in an area the size of London. Wasps get a bad rap. No, they're a bad PR handle to have. Everybody knows them as stinging you in the summer, you know, getting drunk and angry off rotten fruit in autumn. But these wasps, these parasitoids, are relatives of, but they're not the same as those black and yellow striped ones. And where they get a bad rap is they're tarred with the same brush. You hear the word wasp, you think that thing's going to sting me. But parasitoids only attack other insects or spiders. There's nothing to fear from them ourselves. They're not going to attack us. So there's no reason to not like them.
You've probably never heard of a parasitoid wasp, but if they didn't exist, our world would be a very different place. Chris says parasitoid wasps may be the most diverse animal group on this planet. And while some come in really small packages, about less than a fifth of a millimeter big, others can be found in forests that are as big as the length of your hand. Regardless of their size, they have a one-track mind. As my mother would put it, the males are after one thing, finding a female to mate with, while the females are after a host to lay their eggs inside.
They're called parasitoids because they're not quite parasites. So parasites feed on you, but they don't necessarily kill you. They can leave if they want to, like fleas. But a parasitoid is an obligate killer. So what it does is it will fly, the female will find its host, it will then lay its eggs inside of its host, and there it gets a bit more gruesome. The eggs hatch, the wasp larvae is inside or on the host, and it feeds from it while it's still alive. It will kill the host, and then it will burst out as an adult. This life cycle was the inspiration for the movie Alien, if you've ever seen that, with the things bursting out of the guy's chest. So, gruesome, but they're useful. This is the PR problem. You can't put a good spin on a rampaging killer, can you? But I'm going to try.
Okay, so maybe it's a little less It's a Wonderful Life and a little more John Hurt's chest bursting open than I built at the start of this episode. But, according to Chris, without these parasitoid wasps, hundreds of millions of people could have been at severe risk of starvation.
To put them in a context, if you take a pest that arrived in Central Africa in the 70s, it was this cassava mealybug, it was called, this little insect that feeds on cassava. It's a staple crop of people in Africa. And this pest arrived and it decimated about 80% of production of this staple crop in the 80s. Come the parasitoid. We needed to find a way to solve this problem. We needed to save people. We needed to get their food back. They found where this pest originally came from, and it was Central America and Southern America. And they found a parasitoid that attacked that pest in its range where it came from in South America. They brought it over to Africa, built up its numbers, released it into the environment, and by the 90s, it was totally controlling this pest. And that meant, I think it's 200 or 300 odd million people that use this crop as a staple were again getting the sufficient amount of food from cassava that they needed. So that's why we can put up with their slightly gruesome lifestyle, I think.
So they're not just lifesavers, but they also impact our daily life. Without these little guys in our world, there's that small matter of the price of food. If you thought the frenzy over that so-called great marmite shortage of 2016 was something, Chris says, imagine if these parasitoid wasps disappeared.
Wasps are super important at controlling the pests on, say, like wheat and barley and all of this kind of stuff. So they affect the price of your bread, basically. You know, if they reduce the amount that's lost to pests or the amount that you need to spray chemicals, then you've got more yield and more to produce. They also keep all your salad vegetables, so your tomatoes, your cucumbers, all grown in glass houses in the UK and all around the world. They keep those on your table pesticide free a lot of the time, all year round. So they really are good for your diet breadth, I would say. They're good to keep you healthy.
And this isn't the only place that their killer instincts are an asset. I feel like at some point, I can guarantee you, you will wake up one day and you will find that your beloved houseplant is covered in aphids. These small, sap-sucking aphids spread diseases between plants, and on a larger scale, they're absolutely devastating.
If they get hold, they're such fast reproducers because they don't need to mate to have babies. They are just reproducing machines. And they say that, you know, if you didn't control aphids and they'd had unlimited food, they could bury the earth, you know, within a year. They're super, super fast reproducers. And there are cases where they've totally wiped out individual crops, individual fields, farmers' crops have totally been decimated by the aphids by spreading diseases between plants. So they're super, super terrible.
Ladybirds, though, or as I would say in North America, ladybug.
Mm-hmm.
They also have a reputation for being able to, you know, take care of our aphid problems. Why are wasps better than ladybirds?
I'm really glad you asked, because this is the best. This is where you show that the wasps are super, super cool and really amazing at their job. So yeah, ladybirds, they're really, really good at eating aphids. We've seen them, they're just ravenous predators and they just rip through aphid populations and keep them under control. So you don't have to spray chemicals, but if you're a ladybird, you're eating them. It's like having each aphid is a plate of food in front of you. You've got to finish that plate of food before you move on to the next one. So it's a pretty slow process. You find one, you finish eating it. You find the next one, you finish eating it. It's really slow. You're limited by how fast you can eat. With wasps, what you do is you find an aphid, you lay your egg in it. Off you go, lay an egg in another one. And it's a fraction of a second it takes to lay an egg in an aphid. And so this is where they're super cool, because on a leaf, stab, 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 and it's just ripped through all of them. They're super, super fast. They're pretty, yeah, they go on an absolute maraud of rampage of killing.
But you know who they're not killing? Bees. Happy Christmas, bees.
Bees are super useful. They pollinate our crops, and we may have seen in the news, you know, they're in quite bad decline. And some of these pesticides, like these neonicotinoid pesticides, they're called, big fancy name, they are super bad for bees. They get into the plant system, they're in the pollen, the bees come and feed on that, and then they have ingested the insecticide via the plant. And it can kill them, it can affect their behavior, it can mean that their hives don't grow as abundant and numerous. But where the wasps can help the bees is if the more that we promote the use of wasps and the more that the wasps do their job, the less we have to use chemicals and the less we affect the bees.
So could we live in a world where our new best friends, the parasitoid wasps, don't exist? Well, that's a huge question researchers like Chris are dealing with, as the wasps are under threat from pesticides and disappearing flower meadows.
Pesticides, big, big problem for them. It's all about just reducing that impact that we have with chemicals and use them wisely, use them sparingly when we need to. But other things, losing all of our flower meadows. I mean, in the UK, we've lost over 90, 95% of our flower meadows since the 1900s. So that's nectar, that's what bees use to feed, but it's also what wasps use to feed and extend their life cycle. It's where they may pupate for the winter. It's all of their sort of habitat that they live in. And so if you simplify your environment, you're going to remove habitat that's essential for some stage of an insect's life cycle. And that includes these parasitoid wasps.
Chris's research is looking at how these wasps are dealing with our changing planet and, in particular, climate change. He's focusing on tropical forests in northern Queensland in Australia, and he's looking at how warmer temperatures affect parasitoid wasp communities.
And we're doing experiments where we take communities from one elevation and cooler temperatures and move them down mountain gradients into warmer temperatures to see what effect it has on how they can live and how they interact with all the other species in that community. You can sort of make inferences about what the effect of warmer temperatures might be. So are certain species adversely affected as it gets warmer? Do you lose some from the community? Do other ones become way more dominant, so you get a simpler, less rich community? It could go the other way. You could get more things. It's now warmer, so more things that needed those warm temperatures now colonize, and they can enrich and enliven the community.
So just to recap, without parasitoid wasps, millions would be dead. Much like in the film how Bedford Falls became Pottersville in It's a Wonderful Life, our planet would become Aphidsville, and bees would be in even more trouble. Oh, plus there would be pesticides everywhere and our food costs would go up. I don't know. If you ask me, if they have to go all alien on other bugs to stop this from happening, seems kind of worth it. Chris, I think you just got your angel wings, my friend. This podcast was brought to you by Oxford Sparks from the University of Oxford, with music by John Lyons and the MIT Symphony Orchestra. Special thanks to Dr. Chris Jeffs. We've done a few of these shows now, so tell us what you think about this podcast. You can go to Twitter and tweet us at Oxford Sparks. You can find us on Facebook or go to our website, oxfordsparks.ox.ac.uk. We've got a lot of cool stuff on there. You might want to, you know, click around. You can't see my finger, but it's clicking. I'm Emily Elias, and until next time on this podcast, when we ask, how do you make something space-proof? Bye for now.